chapter 10 of Genesis, please. Pali, this bull has killed me. That was the last word of the young man named Jose Cubero, one of the Spain's most brilliant matadors before he lost conscience and died. He was only 21 years old, had a spectacular career as a bullfighter. And he was a rising star. He was known to many people. However, in this bullfight, he made a tragic mistake. He thrust his sword into the bull's back and went in through the heart. And bull collapsed in the middle of the arena. And looked down, and he turned around to acknowledge the applause of the people. They were screaming, "Ole, ole, ole." Of course, he was taking a vow. All that was good. What he did not realize, the bull was on the ground, had one last breath. He got up, lunged forward, and piercing his back with his long horn into his heart. And he died. When we think we have finished off pride, just when we turn to accept congratulations from the others, that's when the pride lunges forward and stabs us in the back, into the heart. Pride is a horrible thing. We all have. Don't think that you don't have pride. We should never consider pride dead before we are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how spiritual you are. We all have a pride problem. As long as we have this puny human sinful nature and body, we have to struggle with this main source of all of our sins. And you may say, "Well, Pastor, I have such a low self-esteem. You don't have to worry about me being prideful." Yes, you do. Contrary to the modern psychologist, low self-esteem, definition of low self-esteem is comparing yourself with someone else and you don't like who you are, what you look like, or whatever, whatever. So low self-esteem is still considered as a pride. You with me on that? Again, I strongly believe that the deepest root, deepest reason for all of our sins comes from our pride. This morning, we are going to take a look at the two individuals who are connected by the region and genealogies, as well as a well-known landmark. And these are the well-connected with the pride. We'll stop and pray. Father, blessed are you, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We are most grateful for your loving kindness, your grace, and abounding mercy. Father, we fall before you, asking you to forgive us from our sins that comes from our own pride. No one can make us to sin against you except ourselves. Father, let your Holy Spirit who lives in our heart remind us when that pride raise its ugly head in our heart. Remind us, be humble and always looking unto our Jesus, who is the author and finisher. We have nothing to offer to you except our hearts, our bodies, our souls. Father, I'm asking you the anointing to be upon our heart to understand your truth and your guidance. And we are asking you to anoint the one who speaks and forgive his sins. Father, we pray for the President Trump and all the leaders in this deeply divided country. Father, we are asking you to speak to them that they may do what is right in your sight. It's so hard to see what the politicians do for their own benefit. And we also pray for the families of those people who got killed, and pray for the injured ones and their families. Comfort them. And somehow during this difficult time, they may come to know Christ and they may draw near to you. We also pray for our troops, especially the one in the harm's way. And there is more and more talk about the sending more troops to the foreign countries. Again, we're asking you to prepare them and protect them. And we pray for law enforcement personnel and firefighters. They are in constant danger, even in our own country. Seems like somebody declared an open season against the law enforcement personnel. Father, protect them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, I did the same thing what I've done. I always do hand out the sermon online to the congregation of the Calvary Chapel, Silver City. They didn't know what to do with them. Oh, well. Everybody has a different style, right? Before we jump into the verse 9 of chapter 10, you will notice that there is a long list of genealogies of the ancient kingdom people. According to Christian archaeologist and linguist William F. Albright, that this 10th chapter of Genesis stands alone in ancient literature without remote parallel, even among the Greeks, where we find the closest approach to the distribution of the people in genealogical framework. The table of a nation remains an astonishingly accurate document. That's what I was told. Why do we have genealogies in the Bible? For two reasons. How accurate the Bible is, number one. Number two, also it gives Jewish people, especially to Jewish people, what kinds of tribe they belong to. Why is it important? Because in the book of Revelation, you will know that those people will be gathered together again. You are welcome to read these fancy names from verse 1 through 8 in your Sunday afternoon reading, for your Sunday afternoon reading pleasure. I cannot pronounce half of them, so go for it. Verse 9, please. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like a Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was a Babel, Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh, and in the land of China. Verse 11, from the land he went to Assyria, built Nineveh, Rehoboth, Calah, and Resen between the Nineveh and the Calah, that is the principal city. Stop there, please. Nimrod is a grandson of Ham through Cush, and his name means rebel. And he was a mighty hunter in the sight of God. He was first dictator. The word hunter does not refer to the hunting of animals, rather hunting of men. In other words, he killed people. He was also founder of the Babylonian Empire. He's the organizer enterprise that led the construction of Tower of Babel. There is an interesting story about the Nimrod and his wife reveals the cultish concept of Roman Catholic Catholicism. Any of you guys from Catholic Church? Former Catholics? Raise your hand high. Okay. I'm going to introduce you the story probably you guys never heard. And before you pick up the stone and throw it at me, listen carefully. And why I show you this. According to various legends, Nimrod's wife's name is Semiramis, became pregnant after the illicit sex with someone else other than her husband. And she was pregnant while she was married to her husband Nimrod. Around the same time, he inconveniently died in violent death. In an effort to remain in power, she chose to come up with an audacious story. She told people, and she hired an artist. They did not have a Photoshop, so they had to come up with an artist, artwork. She told people that when Nimrod died, he became a sun. And he became a sun god. With his sun ray, inseminated her with a child. You follow me so far? And then Nimrod, that sun, since it's a divine, quote unquote, divinely inspired child, and this is a Nimrod himself. So he was a husband, now he was a sun god, and now he's a child. Convenient, right? And that child name is a Tammuz. She claimed that he is a reincarnated Nimrod. In 313 B.A.D., Roman Emperor Constantine became, he declared that he became a Christian. And he also made Christianity, until then, it was persecuted. And from that moment, he said it became a state religion. Once it became a state religion, no one could persecute them. Not only that, Constantine declared that anyone do not convert to Christianity will be executed, including all the pagan priests. Pagan priests, they have a problem. Okay, all this time they had many different gods to serve, including Roman Emperor and Caesar, but now, if they reject this and accept Christianity, they just cannot get along well. So they concoct something. Their sun god is known as Sol Invictus. So they look at the sun god and they look at the Christian, looking at the Christianity. Here's Mary, brought the Jesus with a divine conception, right? And on this side, Sol Invictus was very much influenced by the Babylonian culture that was coming from Nimrod area. Here's Semiramis, and his child, her child, Tammuz, was supposed to be Nimrod. Why not combine these two together? And giving an emphasis on Virgin Mary over Jesus Christ, the Savior. Am I making sense so far? So to pray to the God the Father, you have to pray through Virgin Mary. Who has more authority, Jesus or Virgin Mary? But in their Roman Catholicism, who has more authority? Virgin Mary. Am I making sense so far? Let's make it very clear. You don't pray to God the Father through Virgin Mary or any of the so-called saints. The Bible teaches us that we pray to our God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. And there's no human effort involved anywhere. Babylon in Bible is symbolized a rebellion against God. It's stated here, and the last book of Revelation, also mentioned there. And confusion in religion. We see Babylon Empire opposing the people of God throughout the Bible. Let's go to chapter 11, verse 1, please. Now the whole earth was one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed through east that they found a plain in the land of China and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make a bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they had a bricks for the stone, and they had asphalt for the mortar. And they said, put number one there, please. Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower. Number two, whose top is in heaven, in the heavens. Number three, let us make a name for ourselves, lest we scatter abroad over the face of the whole earth. I asked you to number this verse 4. Number 1 through 3 shows a strong statement of themselves against God. When they said, they meant it. First thing they said, the purpose of the city and the tower are, number 1, maintain unity in opposition to God. Number 2, achieve the status of God. Number 3, make a name for themselves. Don't you think this is pretty much identical as what we are doing now? Same content, different package. This entire operation is a preview of a final opposition of man and Satan against Christ. centered in the Great Babylon mentioned in chapter 17 of Book of Revelation. And man will unite then in a worldwide church and world political organization. And this will, they will be led by the Antichrist, the last world dictator, but their plan will be stopped by God. It's interesting to note that today the world is rapidly moving toward a one world government. And thanks to the United Nations and other international alliances such as the Climate Change Initiative. Speaking of a Climate Change Initiative, they recently, about 2-3 weeks ago, did you hear about the global warming initiative that happened in Sicily, Italy? It's hosted by the Google founder. Millions of dollars poured in. And they didn't invite the scientists. They invited a bunch of celebrities, airhead celebrities. And from the Hollywood and all these people, a bunch of airheads, including President Obama, they got there by using 114 private jet and yacht. 114 private jet and yacht. How much emission they were generating. There was the global warming concept is let's get rid of this fossil fuel so that we don't have this bunch of CO2 gas, right? That heat up the temperature of the earth. And this small group of people using up the tons of the coming up with the CO2 gas. And they say global warming is the biggest danger to the Mother Earth. No, biggest danger to Mother Earth is the hedonism, unbelief of God. The great hunter Nimrod was the center of this Babylonian movement. To make his dream come true, two features and factors were essential. Number one, Nimrod needed a city, a center of unity, in sort of a headquarters. He needed a capital city, a place to assemble, a place to look to. This is why he built the city of Babel. Second thing is, he needed a rallying point, not only geographical, but psychological, to give motive. There had to be an impelling and compelling motivation. There had to be a monument. So the people start to build the Tower of Babel. Listen carefully, please. The Tower of Babel was not built as a place of refuge in time of next great flood. The Tower of Babel reveals an arrogant, defiant, and rebellious attitude of man against God. The Tower of Babel was a religious symbol. It was a place where the people worshipped and worshipped the creature rather than creator. It's doubtful that they thought that they could build a tower that actually reached the sky. Most astrological and occult practice have a history back to Babel. The ancient Greek historian, I'm probably butchering his name, Herodotus, said the Tower of Babel still stood in his day and he eyewitnessed it. There are three things worldly people desire. Lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. As we learned from the 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. None of this should be the part of the life of a born-again Christian. But we still come across. Listen, Tower of Babel was nothing more than a manifestation of pride of mankind. Then pride always incubates rebellion against God. Pride is the only disease. Listen. Pride is the only disease known to man make everyone sick except the person who has it. Am I making sense to you? Blind ambition is a giant step away from God and one step closer to a catastrophe. C.S. Lewis said it is a pride which has been the chief cause of misery in every nation and every family since the world began. You may heard me saying at the beginning, pride is the root of the all sin. Remember that? And you may say, well, how do you make the rape as a pride? Person, the rape is thinking that I deserve to rape, I deserve to have sex with this woman whether she like it or not. So I'm going to do it no matter how she feel. Or burglar. I'm going to steal something from somebody no matter what the other person think. I'm going to take it away. If I have to, by force. Murder. Same thing. Every sin we have, it doesn't matter what it is, rooted in the pride. Mankind in the process of building a modern-day Tower of Babel again. In my opinion, I believe that the cloning process of human by using advanced DNA technology is the problem. Creating human is a God's job, not man's. Let me put it this way. I'm sure some of you are thinking about the X-Men thing. The movie X-Men. They can put together this DNA and create another human being. One thing they got it right though. They might be able to produce a superhuman being, but that human being does not have a soul. Guess who give a soul to that person? If that person does not have a soul, that person is no different than an animal. Just have a bodily function. Creating human is a God's job, and when we're trying to get into the area that which belongs to God only, He will deal with us, will deal with our pride and intellectual arrogance with a harsh judgment. But for this case, He did it a different way. Verse 5, please. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they began to do. Now nothing that they had proposed to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down, and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel. Because there was the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. Stop there, please. Since all the people spoke one language, they could get together and pull their knowledge and the resources together. And the ability of mankind is mind-boggling. I call myself the geek because I like computer. I was really into, about 20 years ago, I was really into the top of the technology. And I loved to stay in the ahead of the trend, I guess. I tried to keep up with the news technology. Then I realized I was falling for the Apple computer's marketing strategy. Because as soon as I bought the new computer and I opened up the box, and then there's a new computer coming up, all of a sudden my computer became low speed. It's a drag. I remember the time when our server was 2 gigabytes. I have a file that is bigger than 2 gigabytes. One file. And again, I purchased a little micro SD card. Tiny, about yay big. So smaller than chewing gum. You don't even chew that small size gum. Anyway, that little guy has a 256 gigabytes. You can put 20 movies in there, full features length. It's unbelievable. And people can send a rocket to the Mars and go back and forth to the moon. Unbelievable. But yet, they cannot touch God's intelligence. We find here that the man has a fallen nature in spite of flood, and that is totally depraved. God cannot ignore this prideful attitude. Because they were in rebellion against him again, he simply put a language barrier among them. Can you imagine? One guy said, okay, give me another break. And the other guy said, what? Huh? Something else. And all of a sudden, they cannot communicate, and they no longer could work as an organized unit. The language barrier is greater than Great Wall of China. How many of you guys been in the foreign country where you could not communicate? Yeah. When I go down to Nogales, all I can say is agua, baños, enchilada. My Spanish is stopped right there. However, the linguist said that all this different country, the different nations' language, based on one language. Isn't that interesting? This forced separation of man from Babel was more of a God's mercy than his judgment. Last time when he judged, the entire human race, except 8 people, were killed. Ladies and gentlemen, mankind has overcome this language barrier once again through the internet. Thanks to Al Gore, who invented the internet, right? We owe gratitude to him. I'm not saying the internet is a tool of Satan. It was meant to be good, but Satan abused it. 1/3 of the internet website belong to the porno website. Any given moment, there are 50,000 pedophiles online looking for a new life to go after. 50,000. If you've ever been in our church website, ccos.org, you'll find a lot of useful information. It is a part of a process heading toward the end time. As a matter of fact, technology is not wrong, but how we use is important. Depending on how we use, either we can use for the glory of God or we can use it against the word of God. It's your choice. Go to the verse 28, chapter 4 in book of Daniel, please. Now we are going to see another man who had the same problem like Nimrod, but he's from his genealogy. Chapter 4, Daniel, verse 28, please. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. And the king spoke and saying, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling of my mighty power for the honor of my majesty? While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men. Your dwelling place shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen, and 7 times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of man and gives to whomever he chooses. That the very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from man and ate grass like an oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like an eagle's feather and his nails like a bird's claws. Stop there, please. Here is a king from the same era and from one of the Babylon's kingdom, and he thought he had everything under control. He thought he achieved everything for himself. When we read verse 30, within one sentence we see the I, my, me. And he thought he had it all. While his boastful word was still in his mouth, he's been pronounced and judged. I'm glad that the Lord does not judge me for my pride every time I come up with this kind of stupid idea. if that's the case, I might as well live in the doghouse all the time. And so are you, right? This story doesn't end with a tragedy, but a happy ending. Go down to verse 34, please. And at the end of the time, Nebuchadnezzar lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and praise and honor him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, as his kingdom is from generation to generation. When King Nebuchadnezzar turned to God and humbled himself, he lifted his eyes to the Lord in praise and adoration. His mind returned from insanity to normal, and everything was restored. Folks, nothing is more distasteful to God than self-conceit. This first and fundamental sin, in a sense, aims at enthroning self at the expense of God. If we are honest, when we measure ourselves by the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, who humbled himself even to the death of cross, we cannot but be overwhelmed with gratitude, respect, and the love for our God. Our God stands ready to help us as we admit that we cannot help ourselves. Stop there for a moment. Have you ever heard the phrase, heaven help those who help themselves? Can you find that in the Bible? Yeah, you probably can find in the book of Second Opinion, chapter 6, verse 66. It's not in the Bible. It sounds good. Heaven helps those who help themselves. Listen carefully, folks. Heaven helps those who cannot help and cry out to God. If you think that you can make your way to heaven, you have a nasty surprise for you. Before we get all enamored of our own high and mighty importance, it is a good idea to take a backward glance at the pit from which Jesus Christ rescued us. It's not just the thing, let's not just think about it, but admit it. It's a way of keeping us all on the same level, undeserving recipient of his amazing grace. Amen? Three applications. Number one, God hates prideful attitude, but he loves those who are humble. 1 Peter chapter 5, please. 1 Peter chapter 5, our memory verse. Would you read it out loud with me? God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Let's try again. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Let that be us. Second application. It is better to be humble in the sight of God than be humbled by him. Trust me, it's not pretty sight. Been there, done that. I got crushed. Third application. Chastisement of God always has a holy and helpful purpose for us. He wants us to learn before it gets too late. Amen.